You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
All right, welcome into Barely a Podcast. Breaking news, Jeff Berkus and I had to get on a podcast and talk about this because Keenan Allen, former Los Angeles Chargers wide receiver and now current Chicago Bears wide receiver, assuming he passes his physical, is aboard with DJ Moore. It's a big boost to the offense, Jeff. I am really excited about this move. So when you first learned about it, give me your initial reaction.
Well, Keenan Allen's one of my favorite players in the entire league and has been for a while. I just love watching him play. And so it felt a little bit like, is the bourbon hit a little bit too hard? Am I dreaming this up? Like, what's happening right now? I'm not sure that I understand that the Bears could have done this because it's like a move specifically for me. That's how I felt. And I think I put out on Twitter earlier today that it felt like someone handed me the controls of a Madden offseason simulation for like 5 minutes. And the first thing I did was just start trading for players that I really like. Because it didn't fit in my idea of where Ryan Poles was going with this offseason, but it's a really good player at a position of need and someone that I just personally have liked to watch for a long time. So it's a particular treat for me.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you. It's Allen's one of these guys you can't dislike. The way he carries himself, he's a true professional. He's excellent at what he does. He's going to bring a lot to this offense. Like, my jaw kind of just hit the floor. You know, it's 10:30 at night on the East Coast or thereabouts when this trade goes down. Jay Glazer is the first to report it. And I'm sitting there going, how did this happen? Because I'm talking to people earlier in the day. You know, Curtis Samuel comes off the board. They're not going to get a wide receiver. They can't get an edge. What's Ryan Poles doing? I mean, the morale of Bears fans that wanted big moves in free agency, everyone was so down. And now you look at this and you look at, you know, we talked about, like, when you get DJ Moore as your wide receiver one and bump Darnell Mooney down and bump everyone down, it boosts everything so much. Like, same thing when you look at this offseason and DeAndre Swift and Kevin Byard are no longer the big ticket items, but the number two items to big ticket item Keenan Allen. Suddenly, like, Adam Schefter put out the Bears offseason on his Twitter last night, and you look at it and go, well, that looks pretty good. Now I kind of see the vision of what Ryan Poles was trying to put together this offseason.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talk about that bumping down, right? This is not acquiring Keenan Allen, 32-year-old Keenan Allen, to be your wide receiver one. You're acquiring him to be your wide receiver two. And now all of a sudden you have one of the best tandems in the entire league. I mean, we could go through and talk about the teams that have a great 1-2 punch at wide receiver, and they're teams that are competing for playoff spots or deep into the playoffs a lot of times. And those teams are allowing young quarterbacks to have success early. It's a really smart move to have two high quality veterans and not take a chance on a rookie fulfilling that number two wide receiver role. You know, you have certainty that you have two professionals that are at the top of their game filling that role for a young quarterback.
Yeah, and you brought it up, so let's talk about it really quickly here. There are, I believe, and there's other good tandems too, but sure. I believe there are now six tandems that kind of stand out amongst all the league. And, you know, I'll see, I didn't write them down, so see if I got them off the top of my head, but the Dolphins with Waddle and Hill, obviously that's lethal. The Bengals with Chase and Higgins. The Bears, that's right, the Bears with Moore and Allen, that's three. Is that four?
That's their third.
The Eagles with A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. San Francisco with Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk. And I think there's one more, right?
I mean, I think that you could put Tampa Bay in there. I mean,
yeah, I think Evans and Godwin. I think that's fair. That's right. That's the other one we had talked about. Yep. So, and I think this duo is better than those two. So you look at this Bears duo and you can argue any of these. You could make the argument that Allen and Moore is the best. You could make the argument that Hill and Waddle's the best or Brown. And so I think you can make an argument for any of these five. I wouldn't put Samuel and Ayuk there, but personally, even though that's a great tandem, I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying compared to these, but that's what you're talking about now. And you've got guys like Kmet and you've got Everett and you've got Swift, these other complementary receiving pieces, but now you have a tandem, a top two tandem that when you look at that, and like you talk about, all right, let's look at how these tandems are performing. San Francisco was in the Super Bowl, Philadelphia, perennial contender, Miami was in the playoffs. You know, the Bengals, if it wasn't for Joe Burrow, they, that's a playoff team. Like all these teams you're talking about are playoff caliber teams or teams that are challenging for a Super Bowl. So if the Bears put the rest of this together, there's no reason to think that that's not what this team is.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, again, DJ Moore showed out last year. He's showed out every year of his career, but he just has not had that consistent quarterback play. And as you know, we're talking about having a nice nest and landing spot for the number one overall pick. You know, you and I are both on the same page. We believe that's going to be Caleb Williams. He's going to come into a situation where he has those two bona fide wide receivers. He doesn't have to wait, right? And you look at some of those young top draft picks that have had something similar, you know, we knew right away, like, hey, Joe Burrow looks really good. And that second year they got him his friend Ja'Marr Chase, and then he took off, right? He came back from injury, and then it was off to the races for Joe Burrow because he had two really legitimate wide receivers that he could connect with. So you're building this nest of professional caliber targets for Caleb Williams. And again, like you said, Kmet, Gerald Everett's a good catching tight end. Swift's really good out of the backfield, which really offset some of the limitations that Khalil Herbert has. You know, if you went into the year with Khalil Herbert as your number one back, you would worry about that dump off, ability that Caleb might want to take advantage of, or, you know, whoever they end up taking. But this is like a really strong move for a rookie quarterback. I mean, there's no other way to take this move.
Yeah. And that's when you talk about who Keenan Allen is. Crisp route runner, and that route running gets him open. He's got sure hands. He does not drop a lot of balls, and he's a nice tall target, a big target. This is something the Bears didn't have, is that strong possession guy in the, you know, short to intermediate game that Allen can bring to the table. And that type of player, like you brought up the idea of Caleb Williams, and I'll just say a rookie quarterback, right? In case the Bears say Drake May or Jaden Daniels is their QB1, which I don't expect to happen. But if we're talking about that the Bears are moving on from Justin Fields and a rookie quarterback is here, Keenan Allen is the perfect guy to add to this mix for a rookie quarterback. And you can absolutely talk about now in terms of the situation a number one pick quarterback is coming into. This is arguably, and I understand it's hyperbolic because I haven't looked at all the number one quarterbacks going back 50, 60 years, but at least in the last 20, this is arguably the best position a number one pick quarterback has ever come into.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I want to focus in on that crisp route running piece. You and I were talking before we started. I was trying to think of a Bears wide receiver that we could compare Keenan Allen to. And I don't think it exists. I'm not saying there haven't been good route runners in the Chicago Bears history, but someone with this caliber of you know, target monster receiving ability in his past. I mean, the volume that this guy has had targeted at him is incredible. He's not the fastest guy, right? Like in the NFL, you can run away from people with your speed and or your shorter area quickness. This guy is just such a technician that he is constantly wide ass open, as they call it in the NFL. It doesn't make sense sometimes because he's not that fast. But you watch him and all of a sudden there's huge separation for him, which is an incredible gift to a young quarterback to be able to look the way of Keenan Allen. So In my opinion, this is the guys that come to mind if you want to have a comparison. And I think a lot of people know who Keenan Allen is, but if you're just a guy that watches the Bears, you know, Cooper Kupp, you know, a contemporary younger guy, sure. That's a guy that's got a similar size that I think plays in a similar way. Guy that's, you know, kind of an all-timer and has more physicality than him, I think it would have been an Anquan Boldin, but again, a slower player, you know, for a wide receiver, still, you know, very fast to a normal human being, but slower relative to other wide receivers, not quite as physical as Anquan Boldin, but kind of someone who just gets open. And then, you know, if you want to go Bears, I just think he's a more talented Allen Robinson. And Allen Robinson ate here. I mean, Allen Robinson had a couple of really good years here before he sort of fell off his career cliff. But I think he's just a better Allen Robinson in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, we were talking about trying to get the Bears comp, and it really is. And part of the problem is the Bears have so few good receivers, and you don't want to sit there and comp him to some guy that barely played. Oh, he's similar to, you know, this guy who had 27 career catches for the Bears. You know, so you want to comp to someone else. Like Brandon Marshall's a different player. Alshon Jeffrey's a different player. You want to go further back. Curtis Conway is a different kind of player. You know, so they haven't had this type of guy. And this is a type of guy that we talked about is really going to boost the offense, boost the quarterback play, and give the Bears a lot of options. And you brought it up earlier. He is 32. And obviously the Chargers were in a situation where they have big salaries, a lot of them. And you got a new, you know, new head coach and Jim Harbaugh, who's going to want to do things his way. He's changing things. I mean, cut Mike Williams, trade Keenan Allen. They have just absolutely, you know, they still got, you know, Quentin Johnston and Josh Palmer. They got a couple decent guys there if Johnston develops, but they've totally changed their wide receiver room. And basically Ryan Poles took advantage. Like he reached out to the Chargers and said, we'll take Keenan Allen off your hands, but we're not, you know, we don't have a number two pick. We're not certainly giving you nine for him. He's 32 years old. He's only got 1 year of control, a hefty salary, you know, with the bonus at 23 million, which the Bears had. So I'm not worried about the salary for this year. But, you know, what happens is when you have an older player with only 1 year of control, you can send a fourth round pick. And I mean, that is a small price to pay. That's all they gave up for an elite receiver. And because of that, and what I really love about this is this right now is a really low risk situation. Like I said, final year, just, you know, a little guaranteed money on the bonus here and what they have to pay this year. There's nothing, you know, hanging over their heads for future years. And you've only given up a fourth round pick for this caliber player. That's what I love about this is Ryan Poles really going out and finding value for the fourth round pick. I mean, even if Keenan Allen's only here a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it might be, and it's just, you know, efficient, you know, a little older, maybe he drops down to 800 yards or so, 900 yards receiving per season. That's going to be really tough to find that kind of caliber player with the 110th overall pick.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yeah, I'm not worried at all about the compensation that they use for it, and I think that we're seeing Ryan Poles be very creative in how to get certainty out of some of these mid to late round picks. So if that continues to be a trend for him, that's interesting. And I think it ties back to something that you talked about on an NBC spot with Ruthie. I can't remember her last name, but recently where you were on that spot where you talked about cash spending and cap space. And I think that that's maybe what's happening here is that the Bears don't have to spend a lot of cash up front here. This isn't like a guarantee.
Correct.
There's like $5 million or something like that, right, that they're going to be on the hook for here in a few days. But this isn't like having to set aside the, you know, $30, $40, $50 million in escrow here. You're just paying the salary, which is part of the salary cap, not the cash spending that you would need to put up front. And so I wonder if like he's being creative on how to get some certainty with those picks and not kind of roll the dice, the hope that you can get a mid-round pick and develop them. You're getting certainty to play now, which elevates the overall room and the overall competitiveness of the team. And you're finding a way to spend that cap space without having to conflict with potential cash on hand issues.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely, I think, plays a part of this. You're adding a $23 million salary with only $5 million in cash. The rest of it gets paid in the body of the season. And, you know, without getting lost too much in the weeds here, because I do think it's interesting about the situation the Bears are in with that and how Ryan Poles has gone about doing it. I think it's a smart way to go about it. And we're also seeing now something that I think is enough of a trend to say this is something that Ryan Poles is going to continue to look to do moving forward, is trading picks for players. And I know he says he wants to build through the draft, and we saw that with the trade down with Carolina and the picks and what he's able to do there, trading down that first year, getting a bunch of day three picks so he can get a bunch of swings at the offensive line. So we know he does want to build through the draft, but at the same time, he's going to use picks. Some of them didn't work out, and they're on this year's draft docket. The N'Keal Harry trade didn't get much out of Harry, seventh round pick. The Dan Feeney trade didn't get much out of Dan Feeney as a sixth round pick, but that's okay. But now you're sitting there going, Montez Sweat was this year's second round pick, Keenan Allen this year's fourth round pick, and Ryan Bates, who we all think is going to be a solid, you know, addition to the offensive line, a fifth round pick. So we're seeing a guy who is willing to go out there at the deadline and, you know, trade deadline. Chase Claypool, again, that one epically failed, but he's not afraid to do this. He is not afraid to sit there and say, I will trade you my second round pick or my third round pick in the upcoming draft if you can give me a quality player that I can extend as well. Like, I know Chase Claypool was a wait and see, but I think that's interesting here that Ryan Poles, it looks like to me, this is going to be what he's doing moving forward as the Bears GM. Instead of trying to overpay for free agents that are most of the time free agents for a reason, he's going to try and trade for guys that still have value that teams don't want to let go for nothing, and then he'll extend them. And I think that's a unique approach.
Well, and one of the things that I think maybe has been informative in his first couple of years, and I keep kind of going back to this quote that he had, a lot of the Chicago media were like, well, why aren't you going after this guy? Like, you know, why aren't you going after this guy? And he said something to the effect of, you know, they have to want to sign here too. And so the idea that like, we'll just sign this guy in free agency. Well, you're competing against 31 other teams, you know, presumably 30 teams, if that team that's letting him go doesn't want him or can't keep him. Right. So I think a lot of times he's been losing some of these battles, and guys go to different places for different reasons, right? They're going to their hometown. Think about Montez Sweat, right? He was about ready to get traded to near his hometown. And right. And he was really excited about that. And, you know, the Bears come over the top. They beat that compensation to the Commanders, and he comes here. He gets his extension. There was probably a little disappointment at first from Montez Sweat. I think he was excited to go play for his hometown. A lot of these guys, when they hit free agency, they can go wherever they want. And there's a million reasons why. Yeah, hey, they want to avoid taxes. They want to play where they played college ball. They want to play the opposite side of the country because it's nice weather, like whatever, like it doesn't matter. But it's hard to compete in that open market where if you are willing to give up some capital, then you now control that player's rights. And given the limitations that Ryan Poles may have with where they're at with, you know, cash and cap and all that kind of stuff, it's an interesting approach, and it's not unique necessarily. I mean, we've seen this a little bit with like Les Snead out with the Rams, you know, the F them picks guy, where he's trading the first rounders, you know, Poles is taking that approach and using it more towards the late rounders and now the mid rounders and a couple times with the second rounders. So I think it's a pretty interesting approach. It's a little different, and I think you get more certainty out of what you're going to get out of that guy, Chase Claypool notwithstanding.
Yeah. And like you brought it up, like Montez Sweat and he would have been traded, but let's just pretend here Montez Sweat wasn't going to be traded for, and he hits free agency. And then the Bears go, we're going after Montez Sweat. But the Falcons sit there and say, well, we're going after Montez Sweat. That's his hometown. There's no guarantee there. And there's also a situation where that bidding may escalate the price as well. And now, even if you do win out the bid, you're spending an extra $5-10 million in guaranteed cash you didn't want to do, or whatever it might be. So this gives an opportunity. Like, Montez Sweat gets traded to Chicago, and he's like, oh man, I was kind of hoping to go to Atlanta, which he kind of even hinted at in that initial press conference. You know, he's like, well, I'm not going to sign anything. I'm going to see how this plays out, kind of thing. And then, of course, he signed, because you sit there and go, and it's not playing hardball. It's playing with the reality of the situation. You go, well, Montez, we just traded a second round pick for you. So if you're not going to sign this now, you're going to be franchise tag. Like, that, we're going to utilize that. We're going to keep you around. We didn't just trade you for eight games here while we're rebuilding our team. So we're going to play the franchise tag game. We're going to come back to trying to extend you again. If you're still saying you want to go to Atlanta, maybe we'll consider it again. We're going to see where your salaries are commensurate to the rest of the edges in the league and your performance at that point. Like, do you want to play this game of and then risk tearing your ACL, and then we don't give you a second franchise tag, and now nobody's giving you big money? Or here's 4 years, $100 million with $65 million or whatever it was guaranteed, and we're giving that to you right now. And Montez Sweat goes, well, you know, Chicago seems like a fun town. Maybe I can go to Atlanta in my mid-30s to finish my career. And it totally changes the direction of everything. So I think that's absolutely plays into it. And, you know, like you were talking about with Montez Sweat getting extensions, that brings us to Keenan, back to Keenan Allen and a possible extension. And that's, I'm curious what's going to happen here. Courtney Cronin already has tweeted about the potential. Brad Spielberger has tweeted about the potential of extending him and what that might look like. And obviously it's not going to be some, you know, 2 year, $20 million extension. You're only paying him $10 million a year because he's 32 because of his resume. If you extend him, you're going to have to pay him, I don't know, $16, $18, $20 million. I'm not sure exactly where the market is for 32-year-old, you know, future Hall of Fame receivers, but that's what we're trying to pay Keenan Allen. So I'm curious how Poles approaches this. If he's just like, no, we're going to see what happens in the draft, see who we potentially get at nine, and, you know, maybe we'll do this, or maybe he wants to do it right now. Because for me, it makes a lot of sense. You've got Allen for this year. Tack on two more years and guarantee him one of those 2 years where you're telling Keenan, we're giving you, in essence, a three-year contract and two of it's guaranteed.
Yeah, I like that approach. I mean, he had one of the best years of his career last year. Now, he's had a little bit of injury trouble and staying on the field the last couple of years. So I suppose that may give some people pause. But, you know, when he's on the field, he's dynamite. You know, and again, this is a guy that's efficient with a lot of targets, which is an incredible thing to say for a wide receiver, right? He puts up really good numbers. He doesn't drop the ball. And he's an incredible security blanket. So, you know, if the move is for 1 year for a fourth rounder, I can live with it because of how important this foundational year is going to be for that first year quarterback. But I like it a little better if the idea is like, we definitely want him for 2 years and, you know, let's see where he's at with his athleticism and his play after that. So, I don't know that it'll happen right away. I don't know that an extension is going to come tomorrow or anything like that. I mean, if it does, then great. But this might be something that they work with over the summer when they're able to, you know, take a step back from the season and look at what the future looks like over the next couple of years. So I, like you said, Courtney Cronin doesn't put that out unless there's at least some thought to that being part, you know, part of the plan down in the future.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. And let's wrap up the podcast with impact this has for the rest of the offseason. Like, we already talked about what this does for how the offseason looks so far. And look, I was doing estimations. I'm not sure if this is exact, but if the Bears trade Justin Fields this offseason and free up, it's just $3 million. But where the Bears are now in spending in terms of their salary cap, they don't have a ton of space left. So if Justin Fields is traded, I think they have about $8 to $10 million left in actual effective cap space that they can utilize for something else. And to me, I'm kind of looking at this now. Sure, you know, you don't worry about the league minimum guys that they're going to pick up in May, you know, after the draft to fill out the roster. Those guys don't really impact anything because it's the top 51 that affects the salary cap. So when you're looking at this and knowing they've got a little money left, they don't have to spend any of it. There's not anything now where you sit there and go, they have to spend it. But I do look at the defensive line and go, now there's not much left among defensive line in terms of free agents. But, you know, we've been talking about, you know, a little bit off air, trying to get creative, like a Josh Sweat trade with Philadelphia. Maybe, you know, Justin Fields getting traded for Josh Sweat and kind of a swap pick or something, you know, creative things like that, where Sweat's cap for this year, his, His number, I think, is only $9 million, which it certainly seems like the Bears could make that work. So I kind of look at it and go, maybe Poles tries to make another trade and get a little creative in terms of beefing up his defensive line and free agency, or maybe he just looks for those low-level rotational guys that he's going to pay $4 or $5 million a year for. But either way, I think an outside and an interior defender along the defensive line still probably where you'd want to approach. I want another third receiver. We'll get to that in the draft here, but where are you kind of with what he's done full body in terms of free agency in this trade and where he might have left to try and do here over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think that you got it right, because really you want to go into the draft without a glaring hole that you have to take a certain position, right? I think you could argue that they really did need to take a tackle in last year's draft, and they were kind of telegraphing that that was going to be, because I don't think either of us thought that the starting plan for that offensive line last year was to have Larry Borum be your starting tackle, right? So I think that there was a real push to have to draft a tackle last year, because they kind of pigeonholed themselves because they swung and missed on Mike McGlinchey. Now, that was a good thing, right? Mike McGlinchey did not play very good football this last year, and so everybody's kind of happy that they missed on that. But he's pretty much patched everything except for needing a couple more defensive linemen. So it would be great if we could get another fun splash move where we'll need to come on and talk about the sweaty pass rush that could be with Josh and Montez. But if short of that, there's probably not a lot of splash moves available anymore on the defensive line, but he'll certainly add some level of veteran presence there. I think they'll probably sign one more wide receiver, even if it's not going to be much of a name. It's going to be a guy to at least compete that will probably make the roster, because it's still pretty thin. But then you go into the draft, and I still think wide receiver is a need. And it's a very talented draft class for that. Now, is that going to be pick 9? I don't know. I there's certainly a potential for a high level prospect to be available at 9. I think there's going to be one of those top 3 guys available, but you know, who knows between now and then. A lot of people like the idea of trading out and getting a wide receiver later, and there's going to be plenty. And so that's a good approach too. I just worry that it's not going to be as easy to trade down from 9 as everybody thinks it is, because a lot of teams around that area are going to want to trade down to acquire more capital in this particular draft, particularly the top 100 picks. I think they may be in a situation where they find that hard to find value and they'll need to stick and pick. And so there may be a situation where they take the best player on their board. I'm hoping that's Rome Odunze, but we'll see what happens, right? Like there's going to be more talent added here. Yeah, it's exciting. I this makes me feel a lot better about the whole offseason process, because you legitimately know what you're getting in Keenan Allen.
Yeah, absolutely. And since, you know, we're talking draft, let's kind of finish with that number 9 pick here as we wrap up this podcast, because here's what I will say about what you just kind of positioned, right? So the Bears are picking 9. So we need to kind of figure out the 8 players before. And, you know, we can play this. It's only the middle of March. We still got 5-6 weeks until this draft. Things are going to change. But if you're kind of playing this out now, if you're going to say comfortably that the 3 quarterbacks that everyone's been talking about with May and Daniels and Caleb, they're going to go. Marvin Harrison's going to go. I believe Joe Alt's going to go. That's 5 guys right there. If you say one of the other wide receivers, Neighbors or Odunze, one of them is going to go, that's 6. All right, so you still have 2 more positions that you need to fill out. A lot of people think Atlanta, especially with what they've done at wide receiver now with Drake London, they have Darnell Mooney, and they've picked up, you know, Rondale Moore. Like, they've really beefed up. And Ray McLeod, they've also brought in. So the Falcons really have beefed up their wide receiver group. So they don't really need to look for a wide receiver at 8. And a lot of people are saying Dallas Turner for them. So if we say they're going to go defense, that still leaves 1 spot left. So this is the way I'm looking at it right now, JB. Either one of these teams takes J.J. McCarthy, or a team trades up into the top 8 for J.J. McCarthy. And if that happens, Rome Odunze or Malik Neighbors is sitting there at 9 for the Bears. Or the 3rd wide receiver goes off the board, and the Bears are sitting at 9 looking to trade down with J.J. McCarthy available, and the Vikings sitting a couple picks away, where you can contact the Raiders or one of these other teams. Like, look, I don't know if J.J. McCarthy is going to be great, if he's going to be bad, but either way, you have an opportunity potentially now to keep a first-round quarterback out of the North if that was the Vikings' plan, because you can control things. And I also think what you've done with this Chargers situation is the Chargers are probably going to take a receiver, and a lot of people, and I mean a lot of people, plugged in draft people thought the Chargers were the prime spot for the Vikings to trade up to 5 to take J.J. McCarthy. So now the Chargers may sit there and be like, look, I understand you're going to give us a lot. We really need a receiver. We love Malik Nabers or whoever it might be. We're going to take him. We're going to stay put. You know, maybe the Giants want to take J.J. McCarthy. We know they're done with Daniel Jones. We've seen what they're doing there. So what you've done here is you've created a unique situation in the top 10. I think this pick, this trade, I should say, of Keenan Allen actually kind of helps the Bears in terms of molding what's going to happen in the top 8, because you've influenced the Chargers to go a certain direction. This may actually help keep J.J. McCarthy out of the North, and it may give Ryan Poles now two excellent opportunities to either take wide receiver 3, who's going to be a great prospect, or actually be in a position to trade down.
I mean, I love it. I love how that works out, and it all makes logical sense to me. And I love the idea of trying to block the Vikings from making their plan work, right? Like that's some next level stuff right there. So that's a great theory there. I think that you're right on a lot of, you know, positions that these teams will focus in on. Obviously, one team can go a different direction and it kind of shakes everything up. But I think you're right in overall that there's probably going to be somebody there. It's just a matter of one thing I'll say, because I get a lot of pushback. Well, Bears still need the defensive end. It's a premium position. Take the defensive end. And if they go that direction, you know, great. Well, you know, we'll like the player. We'll talk about the player. I think it's just more important right now to build up that offense and really make it go. You're not going to fix everything in one offseason. And I suppose you could just flip that around and say, we'll just take another wide receiver next year. This is just a really talented group. And I would like the Bears to pick at the top of it. But if they pick in the second tier, that's fine. If they pick in the third tier, that's fine too. They definitely need to add some talent from this particular class to their wide receiver room though.
Yeah, and if you add that wide receiver and suddenly if you get a Rome Odunze, or even like you said, they trade down, they get a second round pick in the trade down, and then they're looking at one of those type of that tier. Keon Coleman is a name I hear a lot of Bears fans like to bring up. You know, maybe they're available in the second round for that type of selection, where you sit there and go, okay, they've added a receiver. You still got Tyler Scott. You don't have him in a position anymore where he has to contribute. You can see if he develops. You still have Velus at the end of the bench. You know, you're going to pick up another receiver. Maybe you're going to, you know, utilize one of your, you know, your fourth round pick or something to pick up another receiver or, you know, whatever it might be. Like you said, there's still a little work to do, but the one thing I'll say with the Keenan Allen trade is I had been very steadfast. I'm like, they need a receiver. They need a receiver. They need a receiver. Cause like you said, I needed them to build up this offense to what it needed to be. Now I'll sit there and say, if they take Latu at 9, if they trade down to get a couple more picks, if they take Odunze, like Odunze to me, I will still be the most excited about if he's there at 9. And if he's available at 9 and the Bears choose to trade down, I will be a little disappointed just because of my love for the player. But I will be okay. Now, that's what I think this move does that's so great is whatever Ryan Poles chooses to do at 9 is a good move. They need a young edge. Okay, you know, a young edge that is going to be cheap control for the Montez Sweat contract. Great. Okay, you've got potentially a great pass rushing tandem. A wide receiver, that because you're going to give DJ Moore an extension here coming up. And if you give Keenan Allen an extension, you got a couple expensive wide receivers. You've got a rookie controlled wide receiver 3 who may become your wide receiver 2 over the next few years that you can do. Or you trade down and get more picks, which, you know, you could pick up potentially a center, still pick up a wide receiver, still pick up a defensive lineman, all the things that we've talked about they need. Whatever he chooses to do is the right move now, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it absolutely. I completely agree with you. They can go in a number of different directions, and I think it all works. And that's exactly what you're trying to do before the draft. You don't want to pigeonhole yourself into absolutely having to take something, because if there's a run in front of you, that's when you reach. You reach for a position because you have to. And I think that they have done that in the past. And you hope that, again, Ryan Poles is still new to this position. And so it takes time and lessons learned, right? Even though he's been training for this for a really long time. So you hope that he has learned lessons over time. And as the roster changes and gets better, that he pivots some of his approaches to understand where he's at with team build. That's kind of where I'm looking at with trying to evaluate Ryan Poles. Is he able to pivot, or is he just the same guy all the time, right? You know, his predecessor, Ryan Pace, was just the same guy all the time. He just did the same thing. It seemed like he never pivoted. Poles seems to be a little more creative, uses different tools in the tool bag. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, once he gets the roster up to a level where they're competitive and there's not really any holes, like how does he then pivot to try to acquire blue chip talent, you know, for the long haul, right? Like that's kind of the pivot that I'm looking for. So if he's sitting there at 9, he has an opportunity to get a blue chip talent. Does he take it, or is he still in that mode? Like, I need more players because I need to fill more holes. Interesting spot. I don't think there's a wrong answer right now. I would probably prefer the blue chipper, but that's just where I'm at. And I will say, if they do take a wide receiver, regardless of where they take the wide receiver, they don't have to produce right away.
Right.
Wide receivers have been better at doing that early because there's just so much passing in college offenses. But you don't have to have that guy come in and just be a superstar right away. He can come in and learn from two incredible veterans that can coach him up along the way, and he doesn't have to produce at like a high level right out of the gate.
All right, last question for you, and this is the question. This is the forget anything we talked about the last 33 minutes. Tyler Scott, Caleb Williams, Keenan Allen. Who's wearing 13?
Yeah. I mean, I think that you have to defer.
Besides not Tyler Scott.
I think you have to defer to the quarterback. Sorry, you got me coughing. I think you defer to the quarterback just because of what that means to him. But I mean, Keenan Allen's been in the league for 10 years, and
right.
You know, he's established 13, you know, as his number. So I think it's very interesting, especially if the Bears can run out and hand him a 13 jersey right now, then Caleb would need to switch. So my guess is Caleb Williams, and I know a couple of people already bought jerseys. Shout out to a couple people we know. I don't know. It's a fair question.
And I do love, gotta love Bears Twitter. Adam Rank, of course, Bears fan and NFL Network, actually tweeted out last night as a joke that Ryan Poles acquiring a wide receiver that wears number 13 is clearly a reason that he's not drafting Caleb Williams. And if you look at the list of people who retweeted it, it's pretty funny. So that's all I'll say. So, JB, thanks for joining me on short notice. We just wanted to get this out. Caleb Williams. Keenan Allen is a Chicago Bear. It's exciting. This offense is going the right direction, JB. I'm excited. I'm sure you are too.
Me too. Thanks, guys. I appreciate the time.
Adios, everybody.